Welcome back for the last 10 minutes of this first hour of Issues Etc. Pastor Bart Day joins us. Hurricane Ike made its landfall, doing real damage in Galveston and then to the greater area of Houston. There are a lot of people living in Houston. It's one of the largest cities in the United States. To be hit by a storm the size of Ike is big news and, of course, big trouble for a lot of people. We'll talk about Hurricane Ike relief efforts. Pastor Bart Bay, Associate Pastor and Headmaster at Memorial Lutheran Church and School in Houston, Texas, is our guest. Pastor Day, welcome back.
Good afternoon.
What was Sunday morning like at Memorial yesterday?
Well, the crowd was a little bit thin, but we still had divine service. We were not able to be in the sanctuary because we were without power and so had very little light. So we were in our new buildings in the common area, burning quite appropriately Holy Cross Day. And so we rejoiced in the cross of Jesus and the fact that the stuff of this world comes and goes, and that's not where our heart is. And our treasure remains with our hearts with Jesus, and that's our constant hope, even in the midst of things like big hurricanes.
Where are you right now?
I'm sitting out in my front yard right now, sitting on the end of my truck.
What kind of damage in the area can you see?
Mostly in this kind of central part of Houston, it's mostly wind damage, especially wind damage from falling down trees. That was kind of the biggest damage here. So we're without power. We've been without power since about midnight or 1 o'clock the morning of the storm on Saturday morning, and so most people still without power, and then just basically the damage from wind and falling trees, flying debris.
Just a little distance from Houston is Galveston. Apparently, since it was so much closer, and especially Galveston Island, hit much harder. What do you know about down there?
Yeah, we don't know a whole lot. We know that Galveston and Bolivar Peninsula and those places were just really, really hit. You know, before the storm, unfortunately, you know, after Katrina, when we had everybody, you know, kind of freaked out in Houston and ran out of town, and that's when we had, you know, deaths on the interstate, people trying to leave, people run out of gas. It was like a 24-hour plus trip to Dallas, and after that, you know, that kind of wore off the hurricane scare. So, you know, those hours leading right up to the hurricane, like 24 hours before, when they were telling us that the storm was still basically a very strong Category 2, might hit wind speeds Category 3, but they were telling us already that the storm surge was already at Category 4, perhaps even Category 5. So, you know, 15, 18, 20 hours before, you know, Galveston and places like that, the storm surge was already at 18 to 20 feet. It was already cresting across the wall in Galveston and Bolivar Peninsula. And, you know, fortunately, a lot of people left Galveston, but I kind of to the south of there in Bolivar and those places where people didn't leave. There's been quite a stir here because they have not let any news media into that area yet. I say at least as of yesterday, I know that they had not, since I don't have TV and not really listen to the radio today. That was causing quite a stir because they were not letting reporters in there by boat, car, or helicopter. That was causing real agitation with local newscasters. But I think that in all honesty, what people are kind of most fearful of is that there are probably a lot of dead people down there. They knew that there were about 500 people who tried to shelter in Bolivar, and there's, you know, little to nothing left there. So I think that there's a real fear that there's probably a pretty significant loss of life for those people who tried to stay down there and ride it out as they had in the past.
Have you been able to make contact with many of your parishioners at Memorial since the storm?
Yeah, we've made contact with quite a few of them. The church and school got power back already yesterday early in the afternoon, so people have been coming up by there, people even after the service coming by. So most of our people, for the most part, seem to have been, you know, done pretty well. But the we do have a few parishioners that it seems to be that they had some really, really significant damage, lost homes and things like that. Really from trees falling onto their homes, collapsing roofs, and then, of course, we really had pretty torrential rains right after the storm came through on the backside. So So we're still getting word from them, but lots of people with minor roof damage, minor wind damage, you know, trees down, trees on houses, fences down, just lots of limbs and debris and things like that to be cleaned up.
You talked about yesterday gathering as a congregation, as many as could gather in celebration of Holy Cross Day. How does that great day kind of mid right between summer and fall that the church celebrates and remembers the cross of Christ, how does that fit well with your present circumstances?
Well, I mean, I think it fits very, very well. Pastor Murray was the preacher yesterday, and he got up, and before he started his sermon, he went out and kind of walked outside the building and grabbed a huge piece of tree branch that had fallen down, a large tree had kind of fallen, or then completely fallen, but lost lots of branches. He kind of, you know, carried some of it into where we're having the service, and kind of talked about the fact that we always hope in the cross of Christ, and we know that in that hope, there is the promise from Jesus that those who are His disciples will take up their cross, and they will certainly suffer many things. And so, we talked about kind of the current suffering that we're enduring, but doesn't match the suffering of Christ, nor our little bit of hardship now, is that worth comparing to the glory of His death for us and the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation that we have in Him. So we really tried to hope in the cross of Christ, even in the midst of our loss and suffering here.
It strikes me that at the time of Katrina, people in Houston were, although they were near that storm, of course, they were also a place where many of the victims of Katrina before the storm fled to, they were given opportunity to help and shelter some of those people in the midst of their hardship. Now you are on the receiving end of that kind of help.
Yeah, and that's nice. You know, I'm hearing good things about relief and things that are coming, especially to some of the really devastated places along the coast, and that's good to hear. So, yeah, and the people in Houston actually are really kind of, you know, working together and quite friendly folks and kind of helping each other out. And, you know, my neighborhood, everybody stayed. Really, nobody evacuated for the storm. So we were all kind of out and about. And the next morning when it started to kind of flood in our neighborhood, it was still not rain, but kind of everybody who had rakes kind of grabbed them up and everybody got out in the street and kind of, you know, shovel raking debris up into the middle of the street so we could get things to drain. And people are still doing that now. While we're without power, kind of catty-cornered from us on a side street, they have power. And so right now I've got like, you know, 400 feet of extension cord from my catty-cornered neighbor's, you know, garage coming over into my house so that I can try to keep at least my refrigerator going so that I can keep some food to eat.
Have you heard anything from LCMS World Relief yet?
Yeah, I heard from Matt Harrison. He text messaged me right kind of even at the start of the storm, and I talked to him, again, text messaging kind of during the storm, you know, asking what they could do to help, and certainly always appreciate hearing from my friend Matt, but I'm sure that there's going to be plenty of help that they probably are or going to be supplying. And I would say that to your listeners. I've had several calls from pastors and congregations up from kind of around my home in the Midwest and then from other folks in Texas asking, you know, what can we do? Can we give you help? Can we send you money? What can we do? And, you know, my encouragement right now, while things are kind of a bit chaotic and disorganized in the sense of even us knowing what is going on with all our parishioners, I would certainly encourage, you know, giving funds to someone like LCMS World Relief Human Care, where the funds can be stored and then they can bring them down here in kind of an organized fashion to kind of help the people in greatest need. So certainly have heard from them and always appreciate the kind of love and support that World Relief gives, not only abroad, but certainly right here in the U.S. also.
Folks, Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief are on the front lines helping the victims of Hurricane Ike and Gustav, and you can help assist their efforts by making a tax-deductible gift. Check out the on-demand page of our website tonight. Go there, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click on demand for more information and for regular updates on these hurricanes by Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief. issuesetc.org. Or you can also call them toll-free, 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438. Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief. Pastor Bart Day is a regular guest and associate pastor and headmaster at Memorial Lutheran Church and School in Houston, Texas. Thank you so much for being our guest, and we will keep you and your people in our prayers.
We appreciate the prayers very much. Thank you very much.
When we come back from this break, Pam Fichter is going to join us for the first part of Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. today. We are coming to you live this Monday, September the 15th. If you saw the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, you might have seen this story about Missouri Right to Life and a new anti-abortion group that is starting up because some lawmakers in Missouri are a little disgruntled with Missouri Right to Life. Why? Well, Missouri Right to Life has a rating system, and it also has a system for endorsing candidates. We'll talk with Pam Fichter, president of Missouri Right to Life, about what the St. Louis Post-Dispatch has to say and about embryonic stem cell research and human cloning and the funding for it in the state of Missouri. That's Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. right after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.